verse 21 to 24, though we're only looking at verse 24 this morning. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the scribes, chief priests, elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence to me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word. Following the Lord Jesus, revealing his work, which was to die in Jerusalem, and Peter saying no to God's plan of Christ's suffering, and the Lord saying no to God's plan of redemption and Christ's suffering is the work of Satan. Just after all of this, Jesus says to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Right here, Jesus is making it plain, and he's laying down the terms of true discipleship. There is a cost and a price to pay to be a real Christian. And the cost is an unselfish denial and a willingness to suffer for Christ and a following of Christ. A Puritan says this, He was ready and willing to suffer here. And here he shows them that they must suffer too. And be ready and willing. Here is the law of discipleship laid down. And the terms of discipleship are fixed. On which we may have the honour and benefit of discipleship. End of quote. This is our text, verse 24. Note two things about the text. Number one, what is a real Christian? And number two, someone who follows Jesus. Number one, what is a real Christian? And please note, as we approach verse 24, what is a real Christian? Well, the human will is involved. If any man will come after me, the Lord is here emphasizing human responsibility. If any man will come after me. The Greek word for will means here, would. To will. To have a mind to follow. Resolved. Determined. Purposed. And it's a present, active verb. If any man presently puts in effort actively, right now, factually wills himself or is determined in himself, he is active, putting in effort to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The human will is involved. And I am saying this as a Reformed preacher, as a five-point Calvinist. I am saying this as a believer in the sovereignty of God. To be a Christian, there has to come a point when a person, a man or a woman, because that's the only type of persons there are no other types, sure there aren't, a man or a woman, there has to come a point when that person wills to become a Christian and puts in effort to repent of their sin and follow Jesus. Now, yes, of course, God is in all this. But that does not negate the fact that every Christian must come to the point to be a Christian when they will, when they have a mind, that when they determine, I am going to follow Jesus. The human will, the Bible teaches, is involved, and there is human responsibility in salvation. Jesus wants a Christian army, but he wants an army of volunteers. There has to be a time in every convert's life when that person is converted to Jesus and willingly gives their life to Jesus. You see, why am I saying this? I'm saying this for this reason. It is not enough to be baptized as an infant and then confirmed as a teenager. It is not enough to be baptized as an infant and then as a covenant child, so-called, they don't deny Jesus Christ, so therefore, at a certain age, they are assumed into the church membership. No, no, no. It is not enough that people do not deny Christ, but there has to be a conversion to Christ for a person to be a Christian, and the person's will is involved, and there has to come a point when they say, I am going to follow Jesus. It's not enough to be baptized in an infant and then say, well, they've come to the age of 18 and they haven't denied the Lord, so they must be counted as believers. What a load of nonsense. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It's not enough not just to deny him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is not enough just to be assumed into a church because you're baptized and have not denied Christ. No, the human will is involved, and there must be an active confession of Jesus Christ. There has to be a time in the life of a human being that becomes a Christian, there has to be a time when that person wills and repents and trusts in Jesus. And from there on is repenting and trusting in Jesus every day. But to negate the human will completely, as many I believe do, under the guise, of believing in God's sovereignty is gross unbiblical error to negate the human will completely. An error is another word for that is heresy. Do not ever make God's sovereignty an excuse for your so-called covenant children's lack of biblical conversion. If the human will has never been involved, and the person has never willed to follow Jesus, then the person is not converted and they are not following Jesus. If any man will come after me. Note also under what is a real Christian. Not only is the human will involved, but the three terms that Christ gives, you know, these are terms for being an ordinary Christian. Why am I saying this? Well, Jesus does not here hide the cost of being a Christian from his disciples. He doesn't make it all so easy, as many evangelists do. He lays down the terms upon which a person can claim to be a real Christian, a real follower of Jesus. What I'm saying here is this. The qualifications, the terms in this verse 24, are not qualifications, terms for how to be a super duper grade 1 A star Christian who is completely sanctified and has Jesus as both their Lord and Saviour. Because that is exactly what some people who are duped by easy believism believe. That all who profess are Christians, but when many professors continue on in their sin without any change in their life, they're saved but not sanctified. They have Jesus as their Saviour. They're forgiven. But not as their Lord yet. Because they don't obey him. And that's a second experience later on. That's what many believe. This is nonsense. Jesus plainly says, if any man will come after me, here's what he does. Any man, anybody. Not just the super duper ones. These are the qualifications for the ordinary Christian. Anyone who professes to be a Christian must follow him and must have him as Saviour and Lord. And anyone who is a Christian at all must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Christ. We see, therefore, as I said at the beginning, this point that the Lord does not make discipleship easy. I'm sure he doesn't. He doesn't say, you know, John and Peter and Mark or Matthew and all, it's all so easy. All you have to do is believe about me, and then you can go on with the rest of your life doing just what you want. That's not what Jesus ever says to people that want to be Christians. Right at the beginning, the Lord lays down the terms, the immovable terms, the conditions for true discipleship for anyone that's going to come after him. Anyone. If any man will come after me. So that's the first point. What is a real Christian? Which brings us to the second point. Someone who follows Jesus. The true Christian is willing to suffer some discomfort. And here are the terms of true discipleship. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now those three terms of discipleship, you might want to note in your mind that those three terms which Jesus speaks about every single person that follows him, in each case, the Greek verb is an active imperative verb. A direct command. A law. A duty. Jesus is not saying, here's some advice. He's saying, for anyone that comes after me, I command you, deny yourself. I command you, take up your cross. I command you that you follow me. It's a command. There are three commands, three laws, or three Christian duties. Those three words, command, law, and duty, are not very popular words with many Christians. Sure, they're not in the Western world. Commands, duties, laws. Many like to think that under the New Testament, there are no laws or duties. And we're all just floating about on a great big ocean of grace. And it's the Old Testament, lots of laws and legalism and full of obligations and duties. Many are like that. They're called antinomians, against law, against any kind of duty or commands. But here, in Matthew 16 and verse 24, as in many places in the New Testament, specifically out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, are given three New Testament laws, three commands under the gospel of grace, because there are Christian duties, there are Christian responsibilities, and Christians are commanded by Jesus to fulfill these things. Grace does not negate, does not nullify or take away duty or obedience to Jesus, who is our Lord. Indeed, obedience to Jesus as our Lord, when we are Christians, is one of the basic terms and conditions of discipleship. And here is the first term. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, these terms, I'm putting them out, deny self, take up cross and follow me, they all overlap. One leads into another and overlaps, because to deny yourself, and then what does it mean to take up your cross? Well, a part of that's denying yourself, and following Jesus is also denying yourself. The whole thing, it overlaps. It's painting a picture of a life. But let me group them as the Lord has done. To deny self. All true disciples will deny themselves. That simply means to deny yourself. What we want, our self-will, the sinful temptation to put me first before everybody else. And I get what I want all the time. I'm first in the queue, you stay behind, there's the biggest bit of cake, that's for me. That temptation, self. The first thing that has to go as a believer is self. Deny yourself, says Jesus. Because even to be even converted, you must deny yourself. See, instead of you being number one in your life, God becomes number one in your life. That's denying self. God has to come first. And then your wife, your husband, your family, your children, and so on, and even others. And guess who comes last? We are to esteem others better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things. That simply means consider every man not his own things, but every man also the things of others. Consider other people. What is that? But simply denying ourselves. The question comes to you and me. Are you willing to put God first? I would love to ask that to every person in the United Kingdom, every professed Christian. Are you willing to put God first? Why then would you pick a career that makes you miss the public worship of God if you're putting God first? That's not putting God first. I know mothers who, because they are preparing for their work on Monday, do not bother coming to church on Sunday and keep their children at home because they are putting their work or their career first before God. Their children's education before God. Practically, in all reality, because what we do proves what we believe more than what we say. As if the Bible doesn't say, it doesn't matter. As if the Bible says, it doesn't matter if you come to public worship or not, you can be a disobedient Christian and not bother denying yourself. Whereas the Bible actually says, neglect not the gathering of yourselves together after the manner of some is. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. And if you know anything about the book of Hebrews, the some, after the manner of some is. The word some and others appears all the way through the book. And the some are the apostates who are not saved. Neglect not the gathering of yourselves together after the manner of the unsaved is. Are you willing to put God first? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Are you willing to put your husband and wife and your family before yourself? Ephesians tells husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And he gave so much for her that he died for her. And the same passage also says, wives are to submit themselves to their own husband. What does any of that mean if it doesn't mean deny yourself? Put others first before you. Are you willing to put your children and your family before yourself? Are you? Or are you like many women and men today who put their career before their children and their husbands or wives and so on and before God? This is so true, it has to be said. For many, their career is first. You know why? Because that's what they want. That's what self wants. Self. And they pack off their children to daycare from when they're less than 2 years old. So they can continue their worship of their God. The thing that comes first in their life, which is their career. And don't give me any garbage about we need the money to live. You don't. You need the money for extravagance and luxuries. and to keep up appearances. There are no excuses. People do it because they want to do it, because self is not being denied. And self is first, and children are second, and husband is second, and God is last. The Bible says, if anyone is going to come after me, Jesus says, I command them to deny themselves. You do not put God first in your life by disobeying him, nor do you deny yourself by putting what you want first. If you do, that simply means you are not a Christian according to this verse. Because Jesus says, if any man will come after me, if any woman will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is for anyone who follows him. Are you willing to put others before yourself? The second term is take up your cross. This simply means to be willing to suffer, because the cross is nothing but an instrument of suffering and ultimately death. It's an implement of punishment and execution. So what Jesus is saying is this, that all true Christians must be ready and willing to suffer, and if necessary, die for following him. In early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, China, the authorities came a month ago on two consecutive Sundays, and they arrested the pastor and his wife and a total of 160 Christian church members and took them off to prison. And no one's heard of them since. If this was to happen here and the authorities were to come in and arrest me and some of you, would you be willing to take up your cross and suffer? Or would you want to say something like, excuse me, police officer, I'm just visiting. I'm not a true believer. To save your own skin. In other words, are you willing to take up your cross? That's what Jesus says. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Thirdly, follow me. This last term of true discipleship is the one that proves that we must have Jesus as our Lord. We follow him. We do obey God's will. We follow him. Jesus, if we follow Jesus and Jesus says, Father, I do only those things which please you. Jesus' life is a life of perfect obedience to God's will and the scriptures. And if we are following him, what should our goal therefore be? But perfect obedience to God's will and the scriptures. We won't attain it, but that's our goal. The very word Christian, where it first appears in the Bible in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, where the Christians were first called Christians, that Greek word means this, a follower of Jesus. So simple. Therefore, there is no such thing as a follower of Jesus who does not follow Jesus. Because if they're not following Jesus, they're not a follower of Jesus. It's totally logical. A person who is not a follower of Jesus is not following Jesus, therefore they're not a Christian, but a Christian is a follower of Jesus who follows Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The following is obedience to him as Lord. He is Saviour and Lord of every Christian's life, every ordinary Christian's life. I conclude and summarise. What is a real Christian? That's been the first point in the text. Well, in a real Christian, the human will is involved. And in a real Christian, there's these terms are fulfilled. And these terms of discipleship are just terms for being an ordinary Christian. Second point, a Christian is someone who follows Jesus. They deny themselves, they take up their cross, and they follow him. One or two challenges then as we close. Number one, brethren, beware of any teaching or version of so-called Christianity that negates the human will involved in our conversion. We must at some point, yes, after God pours his grace upon us and awakens us and so all those things, but at some point in that process, we must make up our mind as reasoning human beings that I am a Christian and I am going to follow Jesus. The human will is involved. And no true Christian teaching negates the human will completely at all. The second challenge is this. Christ's terms here for ordinary discipleship are exactly that. This is what every Christian is commanded to do and be. Deny self, take up cross and follow. Thirdly, please beware of any Christianity that denies Christian duties and New Testament commands. If anyone follows Jesus Christ, he or she must fulfill these terms of discipleship. And then the question, fourthly, do you and I deny ourselves? It is impossible to be a Christian and a humanist. Because a humanist thinks and believes, or perhaps I should say feels and believes, because they don't think very much. But the humanist believes that self is in charge. Self is God. Humans are number one. With the emphasis on me first, of course. That's what a humanist believes. Man is God with a small g. Man is in first priority, but a Christian is simply commanded to deny yourself. So self can't be number one in a Christian. So you cannot be a humanist and a Christian. It's a contradiction. And fifthly, are you willing to take up your cross? Would you be willing to die and not deny Jesus Christ? If you would deny him in work because you're afraid of being made fun of by your colleagues, which is not really very scary anyway, then it's unlikely you would be willing to die for him by taking up your cross. Sixthly, and lastly, do you follow Jesus? A Christian follows Jesus Christ, and it is a logical impossibility to be a follower who does not follow. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You've heard of the actor, probably a man called Denzel Washington. He acts in many movies. He attends an evangelical church. And whatever version of evangelicalism or Christianity he believes, I don't know, obviously, all about him. But I do know this, that he's asked to speak at many university campuses to the students whenever they're qualifying or at the start of the year. And there's quite a few of them on YouTube. And if you ever watch any of them, what he says is actually very revealing. You know, on every single speech, he says to the students this. He says, what you have to do in your life, in your study, in all your things here is this. Number one, you put God first. And he says during his speech, many times he has let God down, but God has never let me down. Put God first. That's simply what it means to deny self. When Martin Luther was brought to that church court at the Diet of Worms and asked to recant of the gospel, basically, and when he refused to recant of the gospel, what was he doing? You know, the night before, when you read what he wrote, he was terrified. He wanted to compromise. He wanted to find peace. And because he knew that by all intents and purposes, if he didn't recant of his teaching, he'd be put to death. His self-will wanted to compromise. But the next day, he said, I cannot. So here I stand, so help me God. What is that? What was he doing? Denying himself by putting God first. And the Lord delivered him. The terms of true discipleship, brethren. Self-denial, willingness to suffer and die, and to follow Jesus. Amen. Thanks for your attention this morning.